You say, I thought we weren't going to be in 2 Corinthians. Funny thing happened on the way through the study. We're not in 2 Corinthians in our usual place. 2 Corinthians is in a different place, but I was praying, and I really felt like God directed me here. Now, you're here visiting. You say, okay, what did I get involved in? What's going on here? Let me catch you up to speed. This is what happened, okay? And most of our story is the same story. The details are a little bit hinky. They're kind of a little bit different, but basically it's this, okay? We were all going through this world fat, dumb, and happy on our way to hell. And we didn't know Jesus. We didn't know God. We didn't care about God. We weren't following Jesus. And we were on our way to hell. And we didn't want to know God. And we didn't care about him. And at some point we realized it. At some point we realized our life was very empty. We were on our way to hell. And so we called out to Jesus and said, would you please save us? And so he did. And now we join Team Jesus, okay? Now we're trusting him for our salvation. We're all in. We love this great God and Savior, and we worship him with our whole heart. He's a big God. He deserves big worship. Now we caught you up to speed. That's the whole thing. He said it doesn't sound very complicated. It's not. We're not trying to make anything complicated. We are here today because it's Sunday, and that's the day we normally set aside to worship this great and glorious God. And this is the day that we commemorate his resurrection from the dead. So we're very excited, and we're glad to have you here, okay? You're caught up to speed. That's the whole thing. Now, what we do as a church, we go verse by verse by verse by verse through the entire Bible. Tonight, if we were meeting, and I'm glad I remembered that we're not meeting. Tonight we're not meeting, okay? Because you got your family coming and you're going here and there for dinner. God bless you. Have a big old time. Eat until you're sick. I hope you have a wonderful visit with your family. And we're not going to be joining. We're not going to be back tonight to have a worship service tonight. If we were, we'd be in Psalms. On Wednesday night, we're going through the book of Jeremiah. We pick up where we left off last week, and we just keep trudging through. So we've been working through 2 Corinthians, but we're going to be in 2 Corinthians, but not where we've been left off last time, because it's Easter Sunday. We're celebrating the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. And I was praying. It's kind of funny to me. I said we'll put aside our 2 Corinthians study and we'll go to a place and we'll look at, you know, the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, because it's generally what we do on Easter Sunday. And I'm praying and praying and praying. And I was listening to David Hawking on Tuesday. David answers your questions. At the end of every month, you know, people write him in questions, and he was answering, and I was thinking, oh, I like that passage. You know, that's going to make a good Resurrection Sunday passage. And then I was looking it up. I thought it was in 2 Corinthians or 1 Corinthians, First Thessalonians. I was wrong. So I finally, you know, used my little, phones are wonderful. You get that little search engine? You know, you used to do in the back of the Bible, you had that concordance. That's about next to useless. Your phone's great. It's got everything. It's wonderful. So I looked up the passage and I realized, no, wait a second, that's 2 Corinthians. And we were in 2 Corinthians all along. That's how I got here. So in case you're wondering, you said you weren't going to be in 2 Corinthians. I didn't mean to lie to you. I didn't know I was going to be in 2 Corinthians. Anyway, if you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we're looking at about the first 11 or so verses, all right? We'll get as far as we get. I just got a couple ideas. And actually, 2 Corinthians 5, for my money, starts in 2 Corinthians 4. We'll just pick up one verse from there, and then we'll go into 2 Corinthians 5. I want to talk about the resurrection of Jesus from the dead and how it relates to us. Not so much as a historical, you know, we can go back and we look at the Gospels. There was this God who came to earth and paid the penalty for all our sins, hung naked on a cross, so that we might be made right with God. They put him in a tomb, but he didn't stay there. And he gloriously resurrected. And so a lot of you are like, yeah, so? This is the so. This is why it's so celebration. This is why, listen, if that was the whole story, it's a wonderful story. You know, death isn't the final outcome of. What about us? Oh, well, this is the what about us part. And I don't generally like to talk about us all the time. I mean, there's a big part of Christianity that's about us, Christians. Jesus died to save a people. Well, you're that people. And I want to talk about actually what he did. You're not just like a historical, he got up out of the grave. Good, that's great. So how does that affect us? And it does affect us. I mean, it affects me dramatically. It's only what I think about all the time. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 14. Knowing that he, God, Father God, Holy Spirit. Well, you know, there's verses that say that God raised Jesus from the dead. There's verses that say that Jesus got up out of the grave by himself. He said, I can put my life down, I can pick it up again. There's verses that say the Holy Spirit of God raised Jesus from the dead. So you can nitpick and wonder who the he is referring to, any and all of the Godhead. They were all involved in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. Jesus rose from the dead. Is that important? Yes, because you're going to rise from the dead too. He was the first fruits, and I spent a lot of time talking about this. He was the first fruits of them that slept. First fruits. Jesus rose on the Feast of First Fruits. And what would happen on the Feast of First Fruits is the high priest would take a shock of grain and wave it before the Lord. It was called first fruits. It was the first of the harvest. And it was the first of much more to come. That's the thank you, Lord, for this kind of pre-harvest. Thank you, Lord. We got, you know, this is just the first bit of it. We got a big old harvest coming. And it was kind of like thanking the Lord for what was going to happen. Jesus is the first fruits of them that slept. He rose on the feast of first fruits, coincidentally enough. And what I mean coincidentally enough, I mean that had nothing to do with coincidence whatsoever. And if you go to church all the time, you'd hear me say a painful amount of times, our Passover lamb died on the Feast of Passover. The bread of life was buried on the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And then he rose again. The first fruits of them that slept rose again on the Feast of First Fruits, coincidentally enough, and no coincidence. The feasts that were predictive of the certain things in his ministry and his life, they happened on those feast days. Very exciting. Why? Because there's a set of fall feasts, and Jesus is coming back again, and those fall feasts, for my money, would play out the same way. But that's story for another time. But he rose up on the Feast of First Fruits, and know this, that he which raised up the Lord shall raise us up also by Jesus. Now this is one of those things we call a game changer. This changes everything. Well, what do you mean? Well, chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 1. For we know, and by the way, we know. I'm not apologizing for knowing. Well, you can't know that. No, we can know quite a bit. Now, if you watch TV or you go to movies and you get your theology from Bugs Bunny cartoons, right? You know, at some point he dies and now he's up in heaven. He's on a puffy cloud. He's got an angel because rabbits always become angels, right? And he's playing a harp. Well, you can't know anything if you Warner Brothers, God bless them, it's a wonderful cartoon. I'm not trying to throw Bugs under the bus here. But great cartoons, but really, really poor theology. You know, and people say some really dumb things. Listen, I'm not going to say some dumb things this morning. Hopefully, I'm not going to say any dumb things. People say some dumb things about death all the time, only all the time. I just went to a funeral a couple weeks ago. My sister died, and people say really dumb things, always. Oh, they're in a better place now. How do you know that? How do you know that? Because outside of the Bible, you don't know nothing about that. You don't know they're in a better place. And if they died without Christ, we'll look at the last verse here, verse 11. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Because the Lord is terrifying, you don't know they're in a better place. And I'm submitting to you, say, what are you, we come in here with celebrating Jesus' resurrection of the dead, and you're telling me people die without Christ and they're not in a better place? Yes, I'm telling you that. Happy Easter. You should know that, and you shouldn't say silly things like they're in a better place. As Christians, You shouldn't say silly things. You lose your credibility. So people say that, and I start lecturing them right there at the funeral, and no, I generally don't. Show a little class, show a little restraint, right? We're at my sister's funeral, and they had this guy, and Ron will tell you the story because Ron was there, right? And his theology was poor. I'm being very gracious. He said, you know, most people, he says, hell's a very, very empty place. He says, because God is so good, and he's so gracious, and he's so forgiving. And he said, when are we going to wake up and understand the love that God has? Jesus came, and I quote, to teach us that the God of our God, our Heavenly Father, is not the God of the Old Testament. Did I get that wrong? I get that exactly right. That's really poor theology. Did I say anything? I'm saying it now. Oh, man, it feels good, too, to get that off my chest. Because I want to jump up. I rebuke you! I just wanted to, you know, but it's not really the time. It's not really the place. But people say a lot of silly things. But listen, we don't say silly things. We know, because we know the Bible says this. And listen to what the Bible says. We know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. You say, what, pray tell, is that? Okay, the language is a little obscure here in the King James. Let's go through it. We know that we have, if our earthly house of this tabernacle. What's he talking about? He's talking about this. This tabernacle. Tabernacle is not a word we use a lot. It means tent. Okay? And it's a temporary dwelling place. You guys go camping? Of course you do. You're in Maine. Vacation land. Everyone's been camping. You put up a tent. It's temporary. Most people don't live in a tent. And if you do in Maine, that's not good generally. But you go camping, that's good. And he's saying, you know what? If this earthly house, this dwelling place, this tent were dissolved. Now, dissolved means destroyed, but it doesn't mean destroyed in the sense that you would think. It means like striking camp. It means like, you know, at the end of the end of the camping trip, you say, all right, kids, it's time to go home. It's not the end of the world. It's just time to go home. You pick up your equipment and you go. You strike your tent. This, I told you, is a game changer. Why? He's looking at the scariest thing in the whole wide world, and he says, striking a tent. How many of you, at the end of your camping trip, you're terrified? Oh, no, we're going to put the tent away. None of us. None of us. How many of you are terrified of death? Because I talk to people all the time who are still, and I'm thinking, what? Now, have you ever heard me say about death? Jesus says, by the way, in the Sermon on the Mount, don't be afraid of him who can only kill the body, and after that, he's got nothing. You should fear rather him who can send you body and soul right into hell. I do fear the Lord, and so fearing the Lord, you can't really, if you do that right, you can't really fear anybody else or anything else. Fear Satan? Listen, not likely. Not yesterday, not today, and not tomorrow. Sorry, I don't fear Satan, and I don't fear death. Now, I know a lot of people do. I know a lot of people do. Paul says, it's striking a tent. Why? Because resurrection. We were in 1 Corinthians 15. We went over this at length, okay? Death, where's your sting? Grave, where's your victory? That is divine trash talk. You say, not really. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Paul is saying, death, he's calling out death. He's calling out the grave. You're a punk. You got nothing. That's all you got. Big deal. You got nothing. You're a loser. Why? Because Jesus, victory over the death, over the grave. Now, this is what chapter 4 is telling me. This is what chapter 5, verse 1 is telling me. And so this is a game changer. This changes everything. Listen, we fear death. And, by the way, we fight and we fight and we fight and we fight to stay alive. Listen, I got $1 million. I have less in reality. Let's say I have $1 million, okay? I've invested wisely. I've got this money set aside. In the case I die, I want my wife and I want my children to have this money. I don't care. If I'm sick, I'm going to spend every last penny to draw every last breath. And I don't care. I don't care if my wife is penniless. I don't care if my kids have nothing. It's all about me, and it's all about taking every last breath I can possibly take. How many think that's a pretty godly attitude to have? Oh, I'm the only one? I'd have to rethink that. But we do that all the time. And by the way, I'm not suggesting it should be elsewise. In my life, I'm suggesting it should. You just told me it was kind of an ungodly attitude. But we do that all the time. And I think you should, by the way, discuss this. And you should think about things like living wills and things like this. And you know what? If I have an inoperable brain tumor, I'm going to get all the medical, all the treatment, all the, so I can get every last breath in. Why? Why? I mean, have you thought this all the way through? I mean, I'm pro-life, don't get me wrong. I think life is wonderful. I'm not subscribing to death like, hurry up and take me, Lord. I mean, that'd be kind of sad, leaving my wife crying. I don't think I want to go too soon, but at the end of the day, when it's time, it's time. I'm not afraid of death. I haven't been since I've been like 20. I got saved, and I realized Jesus gives you a new body, a victory over the grave. And I haven't been fair to death since. This is a game changer. This is everything. And the key isn't how many breaths I can take, how many. Every time somebody dies, it's like, oh, it's a tragedy, it's a shame. I'm like, really? Christians don't die. Haven't you thought of this? Don't you know the verses? You're saying, now some of you are saying, that's not exactly true, Adam. I had a very godly mom, and she's dead. Oh, you want to examine that for a second? Because I don't believe what you're saying. I believe what Jesus says. And Jesus says this. You remember in John chapter 9, we have to go there because you know the verse as well as I know them. John chapter 9, Jesus has a friend, Lazarus. Lazarus is dying. So Jesus hangs out where he's hanging out a few more days, and then he heads off. He goes, hey, we're going to go wake up Lazarus, and he's asleep. And his disciples say, oh, if he's asleep, he's probably going to do good. Lazarus is dead. I'm glad for your sakes that he's dead. You're going to learn some stuff. You're going to see some stuff. So he goes off to raise Lazarus from the dead. So he's got his sisters, Martha and Mary. Remember, Martha comes, oh, Lord, if you'd only been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And he said, your brother's going to live again. And she goes, yeah, I know, with the resurrection, I'm the resurrection and the life. If anyone believes in me, even though he were dead, he's going to be alive. He's no death for Christians. That's what Jesus says. So you're saying, oh no, my mom, she died. She loved the Lord and she died. Wait a second. Your mom died. My mother-in-law, she dead. If she were here right now, she'd say, the reports of my death were greatly exaggerated. She's alive as you or me, more so. I'm still in this mortal tabernacle, this mortal tent. It's getting older and wearing out. She's not. She's absolutely not. She's been gone for how many years now? I don't know. 3 or 4? She's had 3 or 4 years worth of good days all in a row. She didn't have any bad days. She is not suffering. She's checked out cancer-free every single day. She's with Jesus. Now, we're living in the shadowlands. We're struggling. We're trying to pay bills. We're fighting these Asian Hmong death flu from hell syndrome that we've both been wrestling with, that take antibiotics and they just laugh at it. And just thanks for praying for me. I really feel better. I really do. It's been weeks. And Sue's coughing this morning. I thought she was gonna pass out. She could cough so much she could hardly even breathe. And I was thinking, like, this is life, right? This is what we're hanging on for. This is what we desperately wanna maintain, right? Okay. No, no, mom, no, mom's doing fine. She hasn't had a cough and fit. She doesn't forget to take her medication. She doesn't need medication. She hangs out with Jesus all day. She's having a great time. She's watching over us. Listen, I think she's got more stuff on her plate than watching the mundane existence that is us. Is she an angel? No. People don't die and become angels. Sorry. So we know that if our earthly tabernacle, is this tent, is struck, we have a building with God, a house not made with hands. It's eternal in the heavens. So this new, it's not a tent. It's a building. It's not a temporary dwelling place. It's a permanent dwelling place. And God made it. Jesus says so. He says, I'm going to build a place for you. If I come again, I'm going to receive you unto myself. Where I am, there you may be also. It's not made with hands. It's made by God. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with a house which is in heaven. That's my life. Is it your life? No, this is my life. Listen, I think you gotta flush your ideas. I'm not saying hurry up and die, but I'm saying I get this groaning. I'm always, anytime somebody dies, I'm always a little bit jealous. No, I'm serious. Listen, I love Jesus. I want to be with him. I love him. I don't want to hurry up and love him too soon and be there too soon. I mean, I'll play out the string. I'll do what he wants me to do. But when I finally close my eyes in life and I draw my last breath, that's a good day for me. That's a wonderful day. I'm going to be in heaven with Jesus. I want that. Paul wants that. We groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with a house which is from heaven. This is wearing out. It's not supposed to last forever. We're going to be with Jesus. We want that. Don't we? We're Christians. That's what, I mean, that's the whole thing. So why the fighting? Why the panic? Why the? You know, because there was a time in my life. I remember it was because I wasn't always born again. Before I got 20, I mean, I used to fear death all the time. Satan would just take and play me like a, and I would get all worked up and and just like a little girl, and I'm all and listen. That's his ace. That's all he's got. I took the ace right out of his hand. Trump card, resurrection, boom. Now what do you got? I'm Teflon. He can't touch me. It's a wonderful way to live. Fear free is a wonderful way to live. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. Naked's not good. He doesn't mean here naked in the sense of no clothes on. The Greeks had this idea that bodies are bad anyway, and ultimately when we die and we're unencumbered by a body, that's the ideal. That's what we want. There's even Christians who believe that. They are theologically inept. That's wrong on so many levels. I've talked to Christians who believe that when we die, we're going to be just like, you know, this spirit. No, bodies aren't bad, by the way. This one's wearing out, but they're not inherently evil. Jesus put one on when he came to earth. He wouldn't have done that if they were wicked. God made bodies, okay? Now, this one is subject to the fall, and it gets older, but the one we're going to have is like when Jesus came up out of the grave. And by the way, the stone was rolled by an angel. And Matthew specifically tells us, angel come down and roll the stone away. And the word for roll means he kind of flipped it off. Like just like, think about a quarter, you know, when you flip a quarter, like at a coin toss, the beginning of a football game. He took that big old stone just so much. Psh, why? Let Jesus out of there, right? No, Jesus is resurrected. At this point, he walks through walls to let us in to see that the tomb was empty. Jesus doesn't need the stone moved to get out of the grave. He's got that perfect body. Remember, they're in the upper room. He just kind of saunters on. They're locked, the windows and the doors, they're locked. He just kind of saunters in. Hey guys, how's it going? Yeah, they think they see a ghost. He's like, no. Come handle me. Does a ghost have flesh and bone like I got? You say, we're going to have flesh and bone eternally? Yeah. People think like, well, I'm not a body. That's not quite right. You're more than a body, but you have a body, and you're going to have one eternally. And it's a good thing. That's the way God made you. to inhabit a body eternally. It's going to be a wonderful body. Oh, it's going to be excellent, good. It's going to be like Jesus' body. I think a lot of things like flying throughout the cosmos and stuff like that without space. We don't need no spacecraft, nothing, a little flying saucer. We're just going to be our own flying saucer. It'll be wonderful, my thinking. You go anywhere you want. Where are you going to go? I want to be in heaven with Jesus. You can go anywhere, but you don't care to be anywhere except with God. That's how I think about it. Will you eat? Jesus did. Will you put on weight? You won't worry about organic and gluten-free eternally. You're going to be in like Jenny Craig or Weight Watchers like eternally? I don't think so. Imagine a body that can eat, doesn't need to eat. Can you take a nap? Do you need a nap? There's a lot of questions I don't know. I know this, God's good, and he's got good for us, okay? Let's keep moving. I'm not going very far, very fast, am I? We don't want to be naked. For verse 4, for we that are in this tabernacle, this tent, we do groan, being burdened. Not for that we would be unclothed, like a disembodied spirit is the idea, but that we would be but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up in life. We're mortal right now, but we're not going to be. We're going to join the ranks of immortals. That's going to be a happy day. That's going to be a good thing. We don't have to worry. The new body that he's got lined up for us, it's a wonderful thing. Now, he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given us the earnest of the Spirit. Now, we've read that recently. He's given us the Spirit as a down payment. Hey, I'm gonna resurrect you. How do you know? I've given you Spirit as a down payment. The earnest money. The. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. Hey, I want to be present with the Lord, but you can't be both. Okay, right now we're in the body, we're absent from the Lord. What does that mean? We got work to do. We got work to do. That's all. Listen, I think you can die one of two ways. Finish your work. Or make it oh so evident to God that you're not going to do it. At some point he'll say, okay, you just don't want to do what I told you to do. I'm going to get you up here out of the way. You're not. Or just finish your course. Now, I don't know. We're saved by grace through faith, that not of yourself, the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus under good works, that he hath before ordained that we should walk in them. How do we get to go home? Finish the course, finish the works, do all the works he's called you to do. When does that happen? Well, he's got a pre-subscribed amount. Now, this is what I think. See, I don't want to go home too soon. Why? Because I got a wife. I got kids. I got grandkids. I want to dance at their weddings. I want to hang around for a while. No one needs papa. He needs papa love. I was skipper, now I'm just the big black dog, right? He's black puppy. And I come home and we have this crazy wrestling match on the floor, and we're just wrestling like fools, hurting each other bad, but we can't. Neither one of us can admit it. Just enjoying it, loving it. He needs that. But when it's time, when all things that I'm supposed to have done, all the lives that we're supposed to have affected, of all the Bible I'm supposed to train y'all in has all been trained, all been done, he'll come collect me, either send for me or come get me, I don't know. And that'll be good. That'll be a happy day. That'll be like, yay, finish the course. I'm looking forward to that. We're confident in verse 6. While we are home in this body, we're absent from the Lord. We walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, willing rather to be absent from the body than be present with the Lord. Look, that's our heart's desire. That's our heart's desire. That's what Paul says. We're willing rather to be absent from the body. I want to leave this body. I want to be present with the Lord. Don't you? Don't you? Listen, this is a game changer. Now, our focus is in heaven now, where our Lord is. In the interim, Lord, what do you want me to do? Because I want to hurry up and finish all the stuff you want so I can get going to the next thing. You say, really, Adam? Yeah. Really? All this world has to offer me, it doesn't impress me much. I've seen great wealth in people's lives that have just ruined them. Have you thought this all the way through? Because you work hard and you save your money so that you can send your kids to college so they can get good jobs, so they can work hard and save their money, so they can send their kids to college so they can work hard and sit. Wait a second, it got to be something more to it than that. Well, yeah, it's all the stuff too. I want to live in a nice home, I want to drive a nice car, I want to have nice clothes, and I want to have nice things so that I can die and leave them all to my children. So that they can live in nice homes and drive nice cars and have nice things so they can die. There's got to be something more to that. I mean, have you figured this all out? I'm not going to be here a long time. I just got here, and I'm not staying long. And the long and short of this is that the only things that matter are the eternal things. And he tells us that right here in this passage, if we ever get moving, ever get to it. Wherefore we labor, because of that reason we labor. Listen, I'm here. I'm going to be with the Lord, but right now I'm not. So wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. Accepted of him, by the way, that our works might be accepted of him. We are already accepted of him. That's why he gave us the down payment of his Spirit. This is not a question of like, gee, I wonder if God's going to accept me. No, but that's not even to be worried about. But will he accept the works that you do? Oh, there's a lot of scripture on that, including this verse here, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body. The things, the work, okay? We're saved by grace through faith, but we work, and now we're going to receive a reward for these things that were done in the body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Are you surprised to find that verse there talking about resurrection? I'm not, because this is the whole thing, is the context. Look, we want to go to heaven, but we don't want to get there too soon because we got works to do. And those works are going to be judged, whether they're of God or not, and what our attitude was when we did them. That's the whole thing. Now, where is it in this passage says, okay, we want to smoke dope, we want to have a lot of illicit relationships, we want to just please ourselves, we want to, oh, you're going to be so shame-faced. Those works are going to be, that's going to be a bad day for you. Listen, I just want to party. I just want to enjoy myself. I don't care about Jesus. I just want, it's about Adam. It's about having a good time. Oh, you're going to be so shame-faced. Have you figured that out? You're going to be, that's what we turn from. We were doing that. We had bought into the satanic lie. Party hardy, live, and that's all. And it's going to be what? No, it's no. That end of that road is death and damnation and broken lives. And you're going to be so shamefaced. Oh, you're going to be just, you're going to be looking for a guy who's looking for a place to hide. Oh, yeah, I did all the, oh, man, I can't. No, that's crazy. Have you thought about why you're here? And this Easter Sunday is a wonderful time to think about that. I want to be home. He says, not yet, son. You got some works to do. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Look at verse 9. Wherefore we labor. Now, it's not, if it was just a question of you going to heaven when you die, well, we wouldn't do all this other stuff here. You're going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Everyone receiving things done in his body, according to that he's done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Listen, happy Easter. Knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Oh, you think God's to be trifled with? Are you serious? Have you read your Bible? He's gracious and he's good and he's forgiving and he's loving. So therefore, I don't care. I'm just going to go out and do everything I want and I'm just going to... Really? Have you read your Bible? Knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Happy Easter. Knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. You don't want to die like that. You don't want to die outside of Christ. You don't want to die as a Christian not living for the Lord. Oh, he's terrifying. We're not afraid of Satan. Fear God? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Is he to be trifled with? He's the God of the universe. Listen, I told you, God put on flesh. He put on a tabernacle. He put on a tent, and he tented with us. John chapter 1. For the sole purpose of dying for our sins, so we could be reunited with him. Well, I don't care about none of that stuff. I don't care about Jesus dying for me. Doesn't matter to me at all. Really? Knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. You're going to stand in front of God and say, your son's blood means nothing to me? Yeah, I want to figure that out before you die. Listen, we're going to pray. This is an abbreviated service. Kids are with us and stuff like that. We're going to pray. If you want to help, let me help you figure this out. You can come up afterwards. We'll talk. We'll pray. Don't leave here without Jesus Christ. Don't leave without him being number one in your life. If you haven't figured out, if you've got sin, you got fear, you got the wrong ideas, you want to live for yourself, you got any of that stuff, get rid of it today. I'm here to help, okay? Let's stand, let's pray. Father, I pray you'd bless this brief look into your word. We don't want to fear Satan. We want to fear you correctly, and we want to live for you, and we want to love you, and we want to give our whole lives to you. We want to be all in. Lord, for the one who is holding back anything, any way, shape, or form, Lord, show them the folly of that idea. We just want to serve you. We just want to work for you. We just want to pour our lives like a drink offering for your benefit, to the advancement of your glorious kingdom. Jesus, we thank you for rising from the dead. We thank you for that. It changes only everything. Death won't keep us in the grave. We thank you and we praise you. We are headed for a better day. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying for us. And more importantly, Lord, from rising from the dead, conquering over sin and death. We praise and we thank your glorious name. Amen.